There are times in our Christian lives when the Lord would have us do something that defies reason. Our task and our duty each day in life is to take God at His word. If we stopped putting in our ifs and buts, then perhaps great blessings may attend our labor. These are two quotes coming to you from the Apples of Gold. Luke 5:5 says, "And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." Now, for the purpose of this broadcast, this verse, Luke 5:5, is going to be the main text. But in order to understand what's going on, we need to actually examine the entire passage of Luke 5:1-6 to get the full meaning of that verse. Starting in verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass that as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret." Now, it's very important that we get this picture, because here the Holy Spirit is laying a foundation of what he wants to say through this message. The Bible tells us the people pressed upon Jesus to hear the word of God. We're talking about multitudes of people, great crowds, so large in number that there was no house that would contain them, that Jesus was forced to draw them out to the lakeside. These people were flocking about him. They were pressing upon him, laying upon him, because they were so eager to see and hear him. They wanted to hear the word of God. They relished good preaching, and that they were hungering and thirsting for the word of God. One of the finest conceivable pictures presented in this verse is this: the people pressing to hear the word of God. Now, throughout the Gospels, oftentimes we'll see them pressing to see the miracles or to listen to the parables. And maybe even then it was out of mere curiosity. But in this case, their motive was spiritual and it was very pure. They were pressing upon Jesus to hear the word of God. Oh, that we would see that in our day to day. Because all we see, generally speaking, is a famine of the word of God. Listen to what Jay Parker said: "God's word should always be supreme in God's house." And the people's New Testament said, "When the people are not prejudiced by false teachers, they are usually eager to hear the word." Now, if we see a famine of the word in our day and time, what does that say? People are not eager to hear the word of God. Why? It's because we have so many false teachers that are causing the people to be prejudiced against the truth. Something to think about. Okay, going on. Luke 5:2-3. Jesus, and talking about Jesus, he saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land. And he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now here we see that Jesus, the people are pressing on him to hear the word of God. So he brings them down to the lakeside, and he just so happens to see two ships standing by the lake. The fishermen are gone out of them, and they're washing their nets. So Jesus sees this as an opportunity. He enters into one of the ships, which happens to be Simon's, and he asks Simon, "Thrust me out a little from the land." What he was doing there, Jesus was kind of setting up an atmosphere like an amphitheater, where the people would be on the land, he would be out in this ship, so that now the people could see him and hear him. And he would use this ship as a pulpit, so to speak. So it goes on to say, he sat down. Now, this is very unusual for us, because in our services, the preacher is standing and the people are sitting. But it was a common posture of Jewish teachers to sit down. It was very seldom that they spoke to the people standing. So this is why it said that Jesus sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now, remember, the people pressed so much on him on the land because they were so eager to hear his teaching. So he was obliged to get into one of the boats and to have Peter push him out a little from the land so he could teach the people. Then verse 4 tells us, "Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught." So Jesus finished speaking. He finished his teaching for the day. And it's really a great thought right here. He had borrowed Simon Peter's boat. But you know, God is not like man. God will not use you. He will not take advantage of you. But if you give Jesus something to loan, or you give something for the cause of the kingdom, God will bless you. And this is what Jesus was doing to Peter. Peter had loaned him his boat for the kingdom purpose. And so Jesus said, okay, this is what I'm going to do for you, Peter. Launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a draught. I'm about to bless you, Peter, for what you did for me. And so when he said, launch out, he was saying, go out, thrust it out, put it forth, put out the ship into the deep water. Let's go into the deep, deep water for a great draught of fish. This is going to be my recompense for the use of your boat. And you would think at this point that Peter would say, wow, Lord, not only just today, but any time you want to use my boat, or how about it, you can just have my boat and set up some kind of a Bible school right here on the lakeside. No, we find in Luke 5:5 that Simon Peter answered Jesus in this way. He said, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Now we want to look first of all at that word master, because this is the first time and the first place that this word is used in the New Testament, and it's only used by Luke. All the other evangelists called Jesus by the name Rabbi or Lord, but here Luke uses the word master, that Peter addressed him as master, and it means a prefect, one placed over others, a teacher, a guide, or instructor, superintendent, overseer. And I would like to think of it as a superior. So Peter was actually addressing Jesus, saying, the superior one, you who's placed over me. Okay, so Peter said, Master, but he said, we have toiled all the night. Now we understand why those ships were at the land and why the fishermen were washing the nets, because they had been working all night. Now we get the picture of what's going on here. And so in response, Jesus is wanting to bless Peter, but he says, we have toiled all the night. We've toiled. Master, we've been out working all night long, casting our nets several times. We have labored hard. We're fatigued. We're wearied. We're tired. We're exhausted. We have just put in a night shift, and we've just come back from it. But notice it says, all the night. They fished all night. They didn't come in at midnight. They didn't come in at 2 in the morning. They didn't even come in at 4. They came in at the end of the night and early morning, maybe 7, 8, 9, in the morning. They fished all night. And besides, the best time for fishing, for catching fish, the usual time is at night. So this explains why they were out there. And it wouldn't be so bad that they worked all night if they had caught something. But they toiled all the night, the whole night, a fruitless toil. They had incessant labor with no result but failure. So here Jesus is telling Peter, launch out, come on, let down your nets for a draught. And Peter's thinking, oh my, we are just out there and at the time of fishing, which is nighttime, and we didn't catch anything then. Surely we're not going to catch anything now. Fish, you don't catch anything during the day. But here Peter said, Master, we've toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Nevertheless, Peter said, but at your command, on the ground of your word, on the account of your word, though we had fished all night in vain, but at your word, we'll try again. Now notice, Peter didn't demur. He didn't hem and haw, oppose, or challenge the Lord. He didn't hesitate. Though he was so weary with his night-long labors, you can imagine he was frustrated. He was perhaps angry. He was just exhausted, weary, desperate. But at the command of the master, he went against even his nautical experiences, his nautical knowledge. He knew that you don't catch fish in the early morning. It's at night when you catch fish in the net. But even in spite of all that, he said, nevertheless, at thy word. Now we want to look at those words, those three words, at thy word. At thy word, this is the cause of causes. In fact, the beginning of the creation of God was at thy word. The Bible tells us by the word of the Lord were the heavens made. At thy word, God said, let there be light, and light leaped forth. At thy word, the day and night took their places. The waters were divided. The dry land appeared. The vegetable life began. At thy word, the sun, moon, and stars appeared. Living creatures filled the sea, the air, and the land. Man appeared. At thy word, at thy word, at thy word. Worlds were framed by the word of God, but not just that creation, even the continuance of the creation. The Bible tells us, for the Lord upholds all things by the word of his power. Snow and vapor and stormy wind, all fulfilling his word. His word runs very swiftly. At thy word, nature abides and moves. All matters of fact and history continue on. At thy word, all events of the age come marching by. At his word, at thy word, kingdoms arise, empires flourish, dynasties die, kingdoms crumble. It's at thy word that mighty cities become a wilderness, armies of men melt away. At thy word, prophecy utters her oracles, and history writes her pages despite the sin of man and the rage of devils. At thy word, this has always been the watchword of the saints, the watchword from the beginning of time, even until the present time. At thy word, oh, listen to what Charles Spurgeon has to say. At thy word has been the password of all good men from the beginning until now. Saints have acted upon these three words and found their marching orders in them. At thy word, it's been the watchword of the saints throughout the ages. It's been the password of all good men from the beginning until now. Charles Spurgeon also said, if I were to introduce you to 1,000 of the faithful ones who have shown the obedience of faith In every case, they will justify their acts by telling you that they did them at God's word. Oh, consider Noah. Noah, for example, he built an ark on dry land. The crowds gathered and they laughed at him, but he was not ashamed. Do you know why? Because it was at God's word that he built that ark. At thy word, Noah built the ark of the Lord. At thy word, Abraham left the place of his childhood. He left his family with Sarah to go to a land that he didn't know anything about. He, at the word of the Lord, he entered a country inhabited by Canaanites. He dwelt in tents with Isaac and Jacob. At thy word, he took his son Isaac, his only son, to Mount Moriah and was ready to sacrifice his only son on the altar. At thy word, Moses lifted his rod in the presence of haughty Pharaoh. He led the people out of Egypt. He brought them to the Red Sea, and then he led them on dry ground through the sea. At thy word, Joshua compassed Jericho, not assailing it with battering rams, but with one great blast of trumpets. God has spoken to him by his word, and he obeyed. At thy word, Samson, Jephthah, Barak did what they did at God's word. And all through the ages, this has been the watchword of the saints. It's been the password of all good men. And we see it now coming into the New Testament. And here we have Peter saying to the master, "Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net." And this is the language of a prompt and full obedience. Though he had toiled all night, though he had taken nothing, he had an eye to the word of God. He had a true spirit of obedience. Listen to what the expositors Bible commentary says. And how much do even Christians lose through their partial or their slow obedience? How we hesitate and question when our duty is simply to obey. How we cling to our own ways, modes, and wills when the Christ is commanding us forward to some higher service. When the soldier hears the word of command, he becomes deaf to all other voices, even the voice of danger or the voice of death itself. And when Christ speaks to us, his word should completely fill the soul, leaving no room for hesitancy, no place for doubt. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And we find in verse 6 the results. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fish, and their net brake, because they obeyed Jesus' command to launch out into the deep, let down your net for a draught. That draught of fish they caught was so much, it was beyond what was ever known. It amounted to an absolute miracle. They enclosed a great multitude of fish. In fact, they had to call out to James and John, to the other fishermen, to bring out your other boat, because the net was breaking. The ship was sinking. They needed help. And I read somewhere that the shoal of fish, oftentimes the shoal of fish that would fill the nets would cover an area of over an acre. That's how extensive it was. So many fish caught in that net. And the amazing thing is, even though the net broke, the ship was beginning to sink, the two ships, but they lost none of the draught. Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. What is the Holy Spirit saying to us through this message? He is saying this, that success waits upon the word of Jesus. At thy word, oh, at thy word, you know, Do you want success in your life today? Are you looking for success in your ministry, in your business, in what you're doing? Then wait upon the word of Jesus. Oh, we look to the church today. People are crying out for revival, for a move of God. We desperately need a move of God. But so many are clinging to their own ways, their own modes, their own wills. People are reading books. They're trying to copy past revivals. And I'm not saying that that's bad, but that's not how it comes about. It's at thy word, at thy word. Noah just didn't get up and do something. Abraham didn't just get up and do something. Joshua didn't just get up and do something. It was at thy word. Peter just didn't get up and do something. He said, nevertheless, at thy word. It's at thy word. We have to do it. Do things according to God's word. What is Jesus saying to the church today? And we have to have ears to hear and say, Lord, at thy word. At thy word. We will no longer cling to our ways, to our modes, to our wills. Not my will, but at thy word. What are you saying to do in this hour? Success waits upon the word of Jesus. Do you want success today? Then I give you three words. The three words, these three words that have been the watchword of the saints down through the ages. They have been the password of all good men from the beginning until now. God hasn't changed. It's at thy word that success will come. This is Connie Giordano coming to you live on Spreaker Radio. Let's pray. Oh God, I pray right now, Lord, I'm asking you, Lord, that you would give your church ears to hear what you're saying. And Lord, we submit to you. We submit to you, oh God, at your word. Speak, Lord, for your servants are hearing, listening. And we give you all the praise and the honor and the glory for what you will do through this message. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Until next time, be blessed of the Lord Jesus. Amen.